You're listening to Rust Belt Run.
Running is what makes me realize that, like, I'm a human being who is worth something.
That is not a good measurement of my value as a human.
We get between 8 and 10,000 additional comments, and I read every one of them.
So you had to run Sand Run for your first. You become race director and take it out.
it's got to be old guy naked in the locker room.
I get to spend time with my friend Adam. I get to do something with my friend.
Right now, I'm not thinking much beyond what I'm going to be drinking next week at this time.
Coleslaw on a taco is not taco, it's barbecue.
And so we'll be discussing tonight with some occasional swear words from Andrew because he's upset, and that's okay.
I know him as the biggest Kid Rock fan around.
You ran that.
Oh, dear God.
You're listening to Rust Belt Running. I'm Adam Wheeler. You can find me on social media at Wheels Up in CLE. Joined as I always am by Andrew Hettinger. You can find him on social media at Andrew Runs a Lot. If you want to find the podcast on social media, you can find us at Rust Belt Running.
Before we go any further, let's take a quick break to tell you a little bit about what we do with run coaching. Adam, why don't you tell us about it?
It's personalized run coaching. It takes into account the schedule that you have to get your runs in, the goals that you have, as well as the base that you come to us with. You talk to us about what it is you want to be doing, the time that you have to do it, and we come up with a personalized plan that fits your needs, works on you towards your goals, and helps provide a bird's eye view on your training to make sure that you don't plateau, to make sure that you're doing the correct training that's appropriate for you, and to get you showing up on race day confidence that you're going to be ready to hit your race goals.
So to learn more about how we can help you hit your race goals, go to rustbeltrunning.com. There you can find out about our different levels and coaching, find out more about us as runners and coaches, or you can support the show with buying merch, a sweatshirt, a patch that you can iron on to your singlet for that race that you're running soon. Maybe you don't want people knowing that you listen to us, but regardless, support the show. But for now, sit back and enjoy the rest of this episode.
Andrew, how are you doing today, bud?
Feel like Bill O'Reilly right now. Nobody would get that unless you were on this with us right now. So that we're off to a rip roaring start here.
Yep.
With inside jokes that
no one will
we
be inside
won't
of.
Explain. I got 14 miles in this morning, and
dusted.
I'm on here with you. So dusted. That's tomorrow, and I'm feeling good. And yeah, it was good stuff. Got out with the PLX crew today and ran around some neighborhoods. And I really enjoyed it. I feel like I'm in a good spot now, getting back to some of the base, kind of finishing off the base build that I may have missed when I was sick.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of that stop and start that I went through. So I do love that, like, so it was like 20, real feel of like 20 degrees when mm-hmm. we were out.
Yeah.
And having anything chest or sinus related, you know, even though it was like 3-4 weeks ago, I'm going to be coughing the rest of the day now because
right.
I ran in that like 20 degree weather. So yes. I'm really looking forward to that. But other than that, yeah, everything's sweet. I'm really happy with running right now. And we're going to be talking about my favorite type of running today. After we do our little, you know, just talk about whatever we want. We're going to talk about easy runs today.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm at the phase of training right now where easy runs are quickly becoming my favorite kind of run because everything else is just like, I'm so tired. And that's just generally how I feel. I'm at that phase of training now where I feel like all I do is work and run and sleep and I don't have much time for much else. And that's fine. That's what this phase of training is. I'm looking
right.
out at my apartment, which is a disaster because I just legit don't have the time to clean it. I'll get to that this week.
No time for dusting?
No time
your apartment?
For dusting. There's other dusting. but no, I'm doing really, really good. I noticed, I think, about 10 days ago that I was suddenly much more tired than I have been. I'm craving eating. I'm eating all the time. I'm hydrating a lot more.
You're eating all the time because you take like a squirrel. That's why you're eating all the time.
A lot of small meals, and my God, that pasta twice was amazing. So I have no regrets.
How long did it take you?
Which time?
Dude, one day, okay, when we go...
You're going to put a timer on me, aren't you?
No, this is what we're going to do. We're going to a Cavs game in a couple of weeks, and we probably won't be recording that week. So what we should do is we should go to a restaurant around Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, and I want to live stream us eating. So people can, see... what I'm talking about, and they can see that I understand I eat fast, but yes. I think it's more reasonable than the slowness you eat. So
I do take my time. Yes.
Yeah. To the point where I feel like the quality of the food significantly degrades from when it is set in front of you.
This is really funny because I went out after work last night with a friend and we both got burgers and we were just having such a good time talking that when I asked her how her burger was, she's like, I honestly, the thing probably has cooked itself at this point because we've been talking so much. this happens in more than just the setting with you.
Yeah, and you're like... Oh yeah, it's just because we've been talking so much. That's why I haven't finished my burger yet.
I also have this weird habit of eating my sides first. So if I get a burger, I eat my sides first.
Yeah,
I'm a weird eater. I don't know what to say. But no, I'm eating a lot more right now because I'm running a ridiculous amount of mileage and I'm just always craving food.
How long does it take you to drink your protein shakes?
So what I usually do there is when I get done with the run, I come home and make my protein shake and I drink it while I'm doing my workout. So if I'm doing strength training, I'll start.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't chug it all the way down. I drink a little bit, do some exercises, drink a little bit more. So by the time my workout is done, the protein shake is done.
So it takes you 10, 15 minutes to take your protein shake?
Yes.
All right. Yeah, I down mine. It takes me probably 10 to 15 seconds to do my protein shake. But whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay, so it's a deal. We're going to live stream whatever we eat. And that way
no one's going to watch this. It's going to be St. Patrick's Day, so... Everybody's going to be drunk.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Bars are going to be too packed. Yeah. Maybe we'll just get Chipotle. that would be perfect.
Chipotle would. Yeah. Here's the thing, man. I'm going to be doing that after a full day of work because I have to open that day. They wouldn't let me have the full day off. So I might be ravenous to the point where I house that thing. But I don't know. We'll see. We could also just do a restaurant around Independence.
We could. Oh, we could go to Slimans. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Corned beef.
Yep.
Okay. That's some plans coming together here.
This is what we do on the podcast. We plan going to a Cavs Wizards game. All right. Well, we are going to talk about easy runs today. That's what we came here to talk about. And that has become my favorite workout. I've talked a lot about how I can't wait to kind of retire from trying to get faster.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, that remains the truth. I can't wait for that. I went out over the weekend and did 10 with Steffi Martin and then 8 with Matt Martin the following day. And I'm just like, this is my jam. Like, this is what I enjoy doing. But it took me a long time to figure out how to run easy miles.
Yeah.
Like, not just what I should be doing, but like, I guess I didn't understand the paces I should be running and I was running them too fast. But, it just never felt comfortable.
Yeah.
And but now that I have kind of figured it out, it is a lot more fun. So but I can't wait till, you know, there's no more tempo work. I think like when I hit that point in my running journey, I think I will probably run more miles because there'll just be a lot of easy. I'll be like, yeah, I'll go out for 8 every day or 10 or 12. I'll do whatever I want. There's just going to be a lot of easy. And then one day at the track, because I really enjoy that. And I enjoy eating Mexican food really fast after I run really fast. So, yeah, that's, this came up because somebody had commented on one of my posts from earlier in the week that I don't know how to do it. So we're going to talk about why easy runs are important and, you know, give you a little bit of, I guess, how to do them. I don't know why my voice just got really high, but, yeah, that's kind of what we want to do here. So, do you want to kind of start us off, you brought some points to the table.
My nerdy science.
Yeah, you brought the nerd part. Yeah, all the part when we did our running certification. This is all the part that I had to do the open book on.
Yeah, there was a lot in that too that we just had. God, there was a lot of technical stuff in that certification. I kind of like blocked out some of that stuff because it was so technical at times. You know, and I guess the most basic point that you can make when you get to the nerdy physical stuff is just that easy runs really provide the bulk of the adaptations that you need to run a long time.
Yeah.
There's so much focus on long runs and on runs that do, you know, something of substance, track workouts, tempo work, things like that. But really the bulk of the running that you do that helps you run for a long time is all going to be at an easy pace. And it's because physically that's where you do the most of your running. And so because of that, you get the biggest adaptations physically from that. So things like your bones becoming stronger because of all the impact, but it's not too much impact. Easy runs have less impact. So your bones are able to develop and get stronger without being, you know, kind of overdone. The ligaments get stronger, tendons get stronger. Your muscles become more adapted to the work of endurance running. You know, if you're going to run a marathon, it's very different from the sort of work you're going to be doing if you're running a 100-meter dash. And your muscles are actually a little more fluid than we realize. You know, everybody kind of focuses on slow twitch and fast twitch, but muscles can adapt one way or the other depending on the kind of work that you're doing. So easy runs, long, slow, easy runs help your muscles adapt to long, slow running. You get better with running economy. I almost, you know, said something about the joke's going to be on you when you stop doing fast workouts and stop worrying about getting faster when you start doing all easy runs, because actually your easy runs are going to make you faster still, just because if you increase your mileage, you get faster because your body becomes just basically more efficient at running longer because it gets more used to it. And then also probably the last thing that always really fascinates me is that your body actually lays down more blood vessels and muscles when you run long, because the body recognizes like, hey, if we're going to be doing this for a long time, we need a way to deliver more oxygen to the muscles to keep it going. And so your body will actually create bigger, capillary networks in your muscles so they can deliver more oxygen to keep you going longer.
Yeah, it's kind of funny that you're talking about, you know, how I may kind of incidentally get faster. Brian Poland, who's come on our podcast a couple of times, I was running with him once and we were talking about just that, because I was like, man, I'm just, it was that whole conversation of I'm kind of over training. Like, I'm looking forward to just dialing things back. And we were talking about different ways to continuing to make running interesting if dial back on, you know, my goals for marathons and stuff. And, the fact that I hate running trails makes it a little harder to find ways to be interested in running outside of marathons. But, he's like, dude, you'll still get faster. He's like, he doesn't do like any speed work. He just goes out and runs everything easy. And he's still running like 240 marathons.
Yeah. He's ridiculously like winning
masters and, it's like he continues to get faster despite you know, just running tons and tons and tons and tons of easy miles. So, it's interesting to see how that works. It can be very counterintuitive in a lot of ways. And I think that's one reason why people have, you know, in the running community had stayed away from them for so long, you know, stayed away from running easy runs properly. I don't know if the science was there, if it wasn't there, if this, you know, kind of like with the nutrition stuff we talked about last week, if it was just kind of like, you're kind of a pussy if you run too slow, you know, like if that, you know, some of that mentality, was part of why we didn't want to do it. I'm not sure. I mean, I wasn't aware of some of the benefits until the last few years.
Yeah.
In 2019, that was when I really think I began to focus on trying to run like 840 miles. Mm-hmm. And that's what I set out when I did Akron. I did the Akron Full a couple weeks before I raced Columbus. And that was what I set out to. I set out to run a 345. That was what I wanted to run. Mm-hmm. And I think I ran that-ish. I think it might've been like closer to 350. It was my second slowest full of all time.
Yeah. But
that was by design. And then I went and ran my second fastest at the time, a couple weeks after that.
Okay.
And, you know, but that was when I was trying to figure it out. I still wasn't there. It was very uncomfortable for me. And I think there is a learning curve. Like you have to learn how to do it and do it appropriately. I do think there can be some issues if you're just setting a slow pace on your watch and you're, you know, trying to get alerts from your watch about like, hey, you're running too fast.
Mm-hmm.
And you're only dialing into that and you're not really listening to your body. I think there can be some gait issues that you run yourself. And you may be like, I'm running 2 minutes slower than goal pace, which that's kind of the benchmark. That's what, you know, many people kind of advise is about 2 minutes slower than what you want your goal pace to be.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm doing 2 minutes slower. It doesn't feel easier. And that's where I think if that's the issue you're having is that easy doesn't feel easy. There might be some gait issues we have to kind of dial in. So what are some of your kind of tips on that? Like I kind of brought up the issue. Do you have anything to say on the, like how did you, cause you're new to this too.
Yeah. I know I've texted you during this block actually and told you that I find myself getting better and better at dialing into easy pace and just settling into easy pace because I'm like you. It took me a while to figure out how to do it. You know, in 80-20 running, Matt Fitzgerald talks about how one of the reasons why a lot of people struggle to really lock in a true easy pace, that 2 minutes slower than goal pace, is because a lot of times we're just fitting miles into our schedule. And so we say, okay, I've got an hour and I've got to run 7 miles today. Well, that's going to be, you know, 8:20 to fit in. So like, that's what I'm going to run. And if your goal pace is 8 minutes for a marathon, well, you're not really doing that true easy pace because you're just getting in what you can get in. And once you become so used to doing that, you know, cause we spend so much time running at, you know, quote unquote easy pace that, it becomes really easy to, you lock into essentially what that pace feels like. Mm-hmm. And so then your body just goes, well, this is the norm. I'm not really getting the benefits, but this is the norm because this is what I've been doing for so long. So I had to overcome and almost retrain myself. And, you know, as far as tips go, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head in terms of being good about listening to your body. When you really start making that conscious effort to lock into a true easy pace, you got to recognize that it's going to feel weird to your body. Cause if you've run at kind of that gray zone pace of not really easy, but not really hard, your body is used to it. Your body certainly is going to be used to the harder paces that you've been running over training for years. So you've really got to get good at listening to your body and figuring out like, does this feel good? What doesn't feel good? I know with me, what I've tried to do is make sure I have a couple of cues that I look for. Even though I'm running easy, do I still feel that I'm driving from my butt? And do I still feel like my core is engaged? Because I actually think it's really easy to kind of lose that focus and slouch a little bit Because really, it's like you don't have to be fully engaged the way that you are when you're running hard. And what happens is I'll find myself kind of like slouching, and I'll just feel like little aches and pains in areas of my body that I shouldn't be having. And it's because my form sucks.
Right.
So I've really gotten better at kind of lifting myself up nice and tall, really feeling my core working, making sure that I'm driving from my butt, and then just making sure that my steps are shorter, essentially.
Yeah. In 2020, that was when I think I began to be able to focus on some of that stuff, because, you know, everything was kind of gone. And I think that was the first time, you know, we have talked about this before, and I've mentioned, I don't know how often when I'm running, do I go in the middle of a run, I love this, you know, like it doesn't happen very often. You know, it's more like you get done and you're like, oh, that was a good workout.
Yeah.
But no, these, now that, like in 2020, I wanted, that was kind of one of my goals. I wanted to discover that again with, you know, no races on the horizon. And, you know, it was kind of a, let's like figure out what a love of running, the act of running feels like, not just the result of running. And, it was something that I kind of began to dial in through just not having anything I wanted to run hard for. And, now I feel myself, you know, in those miles that I'm putting on now, you know, I love it. Like I'm smiling, I'm finger gunning. I shrug my shoulders. I'll just be by myself, just shrugging my shoulders, looking like a doofus going, man, this, like when you get that feeling of like, you almost don't want to run to end. I'm like, that's not something I've had previously. Yeah. And I get those in this. So I think mentally it does a lot for you as well, because if it truly feels easy, you feel like a world beater. If it truly feels easy, it's fun and the act is fun.
Yeah.
And you're not grinding through, you know, laps on a track or, you know, hill repeats or something. You're just there having fun and enjoying running. And I think it's a good mental respite from the grind of, you know, working hard. That kind of goes into your point of, you know, serves as a training buffer that you have down here.
Yeah. Well, that and the mental recovery aspect of it. Yeah. I think especially when you are training hard, you know, kind of the phase that I'm in right now with my own training, it's not that I don't enjoy my hard workouts. I do. I certainly can feel myself getting stronger after I do a hard workout. But those workouts also come with a mental and physical cost of like, man, I did good work, but holy hell, is that tiring on top of everything else that I'm doing. And having those easy runs, even the medium sort of long runs that I do at easy pace, they really do serve as that mental sort of buffer for me to just get out there and just enjoy the act of running like you were describing, without worrying about any sort of, you know, what's the goal today? The goal is just to get the miles in. And, you know, I actually had a really good example of this. It'll be a couple of weekends ago now. It was a 12-mile run that I had on a Sunday, and, you know, no actual goals for it other than just get the 12 miles in, get it at an easy pace. I did it on kind of a hilly course just because I wanted to have a little bit of a challenge. But it was one of those runs where I really was able to just let my mind wander for the bulk of the run. Yeah. Like I was actually surprised when I got done with the run at how fast it had seemed to take or how fast it seemed to go, because I mean, I was out there for almost an hour and 40 minutes, but it didn't feel that way. But it was really nice because I got myself into this stretch where I was thinking about all the, just kind of the people that helped me get through training, the people that make training possible. And it was just this really nice kind of moment for me to have, or not really a moment, but just kind of a stretch of running to have, just kind of thinking about, you know, I'm really blessed to have a lot of people in my life that have helped me in ways large and small train. Mm-hmm. And it was nice because at that point I was eyeing up being 8 weeks out from Boston. And that's a really meaningful race for me, as listeners of this podcast will know. And just, you talk about just all the feel good sort of endorphins thinking about that. And you don't really,
you can't really do that when you're doing a really hard workout. Like, your mind is so dialed in on what is the goal of this interval, or, you know, where am I at in the middle of my 18-mile run, that it was nice just to kind of let my mind wander and go there and think about those things. And it really, it's something that just makes the run feel even better and the act of running feel better.
Yeah, I love what you hit there about kind of thinking about the things that make you, or the people who kind of got you there. Like, I think often during those easy runs about that happy stuff. You know, it's not just the people, but sometimes it's just like, I'm putting in good work. Like, that's where, you know, you can kind of sit there and kind of be, well, introspective on your training and, you know, kind of how you've done. And, you know, you're able to get a good idea of where you are because you're currently running, but you're there with the mental bandwidth because you're not so focused on, you know, an interval number or pace or anything like that. You're just kind of there cruising, you know, and so you're there running, you understand how you feel, and but you can take a moment and, you know, think back to the work and has it been good? Does it need adjusted? You know, do I call an audible? You know, that's, it's a good chance to do that. And, easy runs are important in so many ways. And, they're so fun. They're really the best anymore. I really hope that I've actually thought about just cutting up my tempos already and just doing easy runs. I'm probably not going to do that, but I might kind of meet myself halfway on it because it's just what I want to do. And if I can enjoy running, as opposed to hating it, cause I hate, I love racing. I love it. I cannot wait to race Glass City and Erie in Chicago. And
that's the tough part. Yeah, that's the tough part.
But I love running on a track, but I'm there with people I love and care about, you know? It's, you know, it's way different to, you know, I mean, going to a track by yourself is not terrible, but it's not the same. It's just not the same. As that's when I love going with, especially, you know, having friends like Nate and Matt, who are, well, Matt's not a similar pace. Matt destroys us. We will go out and we'll be doing like 800s, and you know, Nate and I are pretty fast. We'll go out. We'll do like 245, 800. Matt'll take us by like
100. I mean, that's a legit pace.
Matt'll take us by like 100 yards. It's like, how?
Jesus.
Like, he just destroys us. Like,
he's so fast.
It's like we're quick, but he's taking us by like 18 seconds. And then he's always, we're the ones dying. It's ridiculous. But yeah, that's a freaking animal. Like, that is one of a kind. But we're not talking about speed work. We're talking about easy runs.
Sorry, Matt.
No, it's cool. But yeah, I want to just do easy runs and track. Easy runs and track. That's all I want to do.
That's basically what Eliud Kipchoge does.
Yeah.
He does an every other week long run. He does fartlek work on the track, and then it's mostly just easy mileage.
Oh man, their easy mileage is easy.
Yeah. It's incredibly easy. And to the amateur runner, it's tough to wrap your head around because part of the reason it has to be so easy is so they can get, you know, the 120 miles in a week that they do. That's the only way physically they can do it. And we, unfortunately, with our work and social schedules, like, just it's impossible to fit in that kind of time. You know, imagine trying to run like an 11 minute mile for like 10 miles. You're talking a 2-hour workout.
Yeah, that's. What do they run? They also do like the Kenyan trot where they roll into paces a lot. And I know when they're doing that, they're like 9:30 to 10 minute miles.
I mean, so you're talking 5 minutes slower than race pace for something.
Yeah. That's freaking wild.
Yeah.
And like some of us struggle to run. I mean, our athlete JP, like you prescribe him only about a minute slower. you give him like a 45 second window. And it's like, so he has like a minute 45 slower than his goal pace. Maybe slightly.
It's a little bit more now. I think, like, thinking back on his Akron training, it ended up being probably about 90 seconds slower. And now he's shooting for like a 250. Now
his goal pace is going up and it's staying there.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. And he's largely, like, he's been hitting largely eight. So he's probably around a minute 30, minute 45.
Yeah.
I think part of that, honestly, I think part of that last year was just kind of like tapping in to see what he could do.
Yeah. And he does have some of the scheduling stuff as well. And so he kind of, you know, and sometimes you have to find some of that happy medium, you know, maybe like you don't want to lose all the mileage, by, you know, if you're fitting in the, and this is where it is beneficial to have somebody guiding you.
Yes.
And I'm saying that because we are run coaches.
Yes.
I'd be saying that if we weren't. But you know, it's beneficial to have somebody guiding you so that you can find that that middle of the road. Because like with JP, it was, you know, he runs a lot in the mornings. He has kids and they have all kinds of, you know, events and crap outside of work that they have to do.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when is he going to get his workouts in? And the easy mileage is, you know, kind of eats into some of that time, like, or it takes a little bit too much of it if we slow him down to that full 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's that kind of like, all right, we can't do the 2 minutes because we need to hit this mile mark, but I'd rather lop off maybe 2 miles that we maybe would have prescribed him because we want to see it slow down. And I know that was like one of the initial, what was his kind of response? Cause you did all the calls with him when you guys were really talking about like needing to slow that down. Was he a little pensive and like, I guess I'll trust you?
No, you know, this is where I'll give a lot of credit to JP. He fully bought in.
Mm-hmm.
Like he fully bought in. His mentality was, listen, like I'm giving you guys a call. Matt recommended you. I'm giving you guys a call and I'm just going to trust in what you're doing and what you're telling me to do. And he's like, and we'll just see how it plays out. And really like that was the way he was from the start. And what's nice is that faith was rewarded with an 8 minute PR. And now you know, if there was any question about it, like he's fully bought in because he's seen the results. As you were talking about that, it made me think of something Matt said. If you want to, you know, talk about the power of easy runs, when we were at Akron afterwards, down in where everybody was celebrating afterwards, Matt said, you know, what's crazy is JP just set an 8 minute PR and he did the same exact volume that he did for his spring race. And typically, you know, PRs come with increased volume. And a lot of times that increased volume is easier mileage. But, you know, you just talked about how with JP, like there's scheduling issues that just make it really hard to get in. I mean, I could easily fit in probably 10 to 12 miles more for him. And he probably would be able to get to where Matt is in terms of speed. Like, I think JP is a force. He's got a lot on his plate. But Matt pointed that out. He goes, listen, because he just ran the same volume and he trimmed 8 minutes off his PR and all he did was slow down.
I know. It's bonkers.
Yeah.
It's really crazy to see. It's really crazy to see how that can work.
Yeah.
Gosh, I'm so excited for Boston because I'm excited to see what one of our athletes does that we slow down. He's the one I've talked about a little bit. Who's been a little more like, I'm going to trust you.
Yeah.
but you can tell it's like, it's not that he doesn't see the value in it. It's that, it's so boring.
Yeah.
And it's like, but that's part of learning how to do them is, you know, finding that joy in it. So,
yeah.
But when, you know, you got to trust people sometimes. Like We've all experienced it. I mean, when I did in 2021, when I did there's no way I could have run those three halves as my, at the time, three fastest halves. Back to back to back weeks without, wow, that's badass. They became my first, second, and third at the time fastest halves. And I ran them back. I remember when I was coming down I was maybe like half a mile out at Haunted Forest, the last one of the three. And I looked at my watch and I'm doing the math in my head because I'm trying to decide if I'm walking it in. And I'm like, no, I can get it. If I can just push for just a little bit longer, I can, right. I can make this my third. And, I somehow got, man, I will never do that again. Signs up. Yeah, I couldn't have done that without, you know, piling on some additional mileage. Like I was, you know, I think I was doing around, which for me is a lot considering I refuse to go 6 days anymore. I was like 45 to like 50 miles a week training for a half. And, I wouldn't have been able to do that on probably what I'm doing right now going into Glass City. There's no way. I wouldn't have been able, I can't run back to back to back right now. I'm not trying to. That's why my base isn't as crazy. But yeah, there's no way. I'm going to run way faster. There's no doubt about that. But yeah, those easy runs, they can, man, that's where that endurance is built. That's where that ability to do stupid shit like run, you know, I mean, it's that time on feet. It allows you to run, you know, more halves, more fulls. It allows you to do more. Maybe you can't race all those miles, but you get to do more. You're going to be healthier.
Yeah, and I think if you maintain that base with just easy mileage, it allows you to jump into training quicker too.
Right.
It allows you just to take off and really start doing hard things. Because the body's already really conditioned.
Right.
It's already used to doing that hard work. And now it's just, you know, you start adding in a little bit of more difficult stuff here and there. And, you know, your body's ready for it. It's why probably the single biggest change I've made since, you know, 2020 with my training has been to make sure that I get a very nice, solid base. I used to jump right into training. You know, because you look at a lot of like, you look at a lot of training programs that you can find in a book or on the internet, and it's like, hey, here's an 18-week program. And a lot of times they're jumping you right into hard stuff fast because there's this kind of this, there's this, you know, almost this implication of like, well, you've been running consistently for a while. Like you'll actually see some plans say like, hey, this plan is tailored for somebody who's been running X number of miles for 6 months or whatever.
Right.
And so, you know, I was always dealing with like little injuries, little issues, and they would plague me throughout training. And the single biggest way to get fit as fast as you can is just to be able to do it consistently, as you've discovered with, you know, being sick and kind of being doing the snip, snap with your training, for the first part of the year. So I've really, you know, since 2020, I've made sure that's fantastic.
Do you have any idea the toll three vasectomies can have on a man's body?
God, that whole episode is just so good.
Oh, it's so awful. I love it when the bloopers show up and they're at the TV.
Yes.
Because, I mean, it's so stupid. It's just goes into the wall and moves like 3 inches.
How many ways can we find to just make everyone feel uncomfortable? Like, you can feel yourself just cringing watching it.
I mean, there's people who cannot watch that episode.
Yeah.
I can, because I think I love awkward, and I think it is absolutely hilarious.
Yeah.
But, oh, my goodness. It's so dumb.
Anyway.
Sometimes I just stand here. Sometimes I just stand here and stare at it. And, and they turn around, and in the blooper, Jim is just crying. It's so funny. Oh my gosh.
was I saying? Oh yeah, no. I'm back. To put a bow on this, the point that I was making, the single biggest thing that I think I've done that's helped my training has just been a longer, slow buildup and having a nice, solid base. It's about 3 months. It's why I want to have this longer stretch of time in between big races, because I'm a little bit, I think, in a different place than you are, in that you're kind of looking forward almost to retiring from really going hard after races and just enjoying the act of running a little bit. Whereas I really still love the act of training hard. Like, for as tired as I am right now, I love it. I love what I'm doing. I love pushing my body and seeing what I can do. But I also don't like sustaining it as often as I used to. And so it's nice to have that long kind of window in between where I just do a lot of long, slow running, throw in some quality stuff here and there just to spice things up. But it gets my body ready so that when I do jump into those hard training blocks, my body's like, okay, we're good. I've got this foundation under me. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, this is good stuff. Yeah. I'm glad that we had this conversation. I'm glad that it was even mentioned on one of my posts, because, you know, sometimes we struggle with like what to talk about, because we've talked about so much of this throughout. I mean, this is what, like episode 164.
Yeah.
We've talked about so much of this stuff over and over and over again, but I think we have a different perspective now. I don't know how much we've talked about easy runs. We've been doing this 4.5 years, and it's a fairly new thing for you and I.
Yeah.
And we didn't record much last year. Last year, I think we only recorded like 20 episodes. we weren't doing the week. It's funny. We did like, I think we did like 70, from 2020 to 2021. Like there was like a year period. We did a crap ton because of the pandemic and you know, some of the social justice stuff that we wanted to do. And then we just flipped. And in 2022, we were like, nope, we're not going to record like we were. But yeah,
there's a lot going on.
Yeah. I mean, running is some of the same way. So, it's good to kind of, I think, visit easy runs, and, I hope people enjoy them more because they're awesome.
And you know what, I'll just make this final point as we kind of wind down here, you know, talking about how, you know, we've talked about a lot of these things, and we've certainly talked about easy runs before, but also, you know, we're experiencing the new ways as our training evolves. I recorded a reel last week, kind of putting a bow on some of the stuff we discussed with Mark Freeman, and talking about how, you know, as my training has gotten deeper into marathon training, you know, I have to revisit my ideal time inventory about where I'm at right now, because there's just very little time for me to do much else. And so it's important for me to, you know, like, really make sure that I'm honed in on the things that I value so that I'm not letting certain things slip. And, you know, when you and I talk about things, Brad Stahlberg always brings this up, so this makes me feel better about talking about it. But, you know, it's this idea that, like, we don't have everything figured out. A lot of the times when you and I are talking about things, it's because we are going through the act of figuring them out. And, you know, so it's like we have experience, not just with how to do these things, but we also have experience with how to kind of like let ourselves evolve with these things. And I think that experience is important when, you know, it comes to people listening to us and like, why should they listen to us or why should they work with us as coaches, is because, you know, it's not about having everything figured out. It's about having things figured out and having the ability to evolve and have a new perspective as those things change.
Right.
And so the fact that we continue to work through those things, I think is a good thing. The fact that we maybe have revisited this subject is a good thing, because it's changed for us. And as it changes for us, that gives us more perspective for our listeners and our clients.
That's where we end it. Good stuff today. I'm looking forward to easy miles next week. I'm looking forward to all my easy runs. Looking forward to setting some forever PRs and upping my easy mileage even more in 2024.
That's the nice little reward.
that's the goal. So, this is great. And I hope everybody, enjoyed this and enjoy some easy miles, and make sure that you, on your favorite podcast platforms, like, subscribe, review us. On Spotify, we have video now. I don't know if that matters. Hey, speak for yourself. Yeah, but if you guys enjoy that, let us know. Maybe we can do more with it. If you don't enjoy it, then just turn your screen off. It's also easier for me to publish, so I'm just gonna roll with it. Yeah, so like, subscribe, review us on your favorite podcast platforms. Check us out at rustbeltrunning.com, where we are selling merchandise and run coaching plans. You can learn more about us as coaches there, and we'd love to help you on your journey. Do those fall PRs. It's time to start, thinking about that. Let's go be here before we know it. Yeah. So, we look forward to talking to you guys again soon. Adam, I will see you next week. To everybody else out there, enjoy your miles, everybody.